107.9 WAMW FM Washington, a DLC Media radio station.
Good evening and welcome to the 2018 primary sheriff election debate on Memories 107.9 WAMW and at WAMWAMFM.com. We are live at the Washington Conservation Club on Washington's radio station WAMW. DLC Media brings you this event tonight as a public service to the citizens of Daviess County. We thank everyone who is here that helped to make it possible and everyone who came out to be part of a live audience here tonight at the Conservation Club. My name is Dave Foster, News Director for WAMW. I'll be serving as moderator for tonight's debate. The candidates are both running on the Republican ticket for Daviess County Sheriff. Both are current members of the Sheriff's Department. They are Chief Deputy Gary Allison and Deputy Troy Foos. Thanks to them and their camps for agreeing to participate tonight. Both are looking to win the primary election to be held 1 week from today. Hope to be on the fall general election ballot. Here's how things will work. Both candidates will have 2 minutes to give an opening statement. After that, I will question them on various topics and issues. Some questions were prepared beforehand. Some questions tonight will come from a box filled by the live audience as they came in. Questions asked will be at the moderator's discretion. We'll ask a question to a candidate. They'll have 1 minute to answer. We'll ask the same question to the next candidate who has a minute to answer. Then each will have 30 seconds to respond to the other's answers and comments. Our timekeeper tonight is Dave Crooks. He will flash a yellow sign when there is 15 seconds left, a red sign when time is up. Please finish your final sentence of your answer or comment when you see the red, or I guess it is orange, sign. And we do want to ask you to mute your phones tonight and try to keep that to a minimum. A coin toss determined who would be first tonight to give an opening statement, and based on the outcome of that coin toss, Mr. Foos was the winner, so he will be the first to give an opening statement, and you can begin with your two-minute opening statement, Troy, anytime you're ready. Your time will start when you begin speaking.
Thank you guys so much for attending and listening at home this evening. My name is Troy Foos, and I'm currently a deputy with the Daviess County Sheriff's Office, and I am running for sheriff in the upcoming election. I'm running for sheriff because I'm committed to service. I have over 30 years of knowledge and experience serving the public, whether it has been in the restaurant industry where I started as a young boy, to owning my own business, to being a volunteer fireman, to being a medical first responder, and to being a deputy sheriff. I currently hold 18 certifications pertaining to law enforcement, fire protection, and EMS. Some of the certifications and responsibilities that I hold at the sheriff's office include being the primary instructor, the assistant team SWAT team leader, dive team commander, and the co-coordinator of the reserve program. This is not a 9-to-5 job. This profession requires 100% commitment. And I will tell you this, I am ready, I am qualified, I am experienced, and I'm committed to tackling the challenges ahead as your sheriff. My platform has and will continue to focus on better helping our community by focusing on the drugs, focusing on the addictions, focusing on our youth, and focusing on the budget. Our department has fallen behind the growing population, the growing of crime rates, the growing industry and evolving world that Daviess County is today. I feel we need to be proactive law enforcement agency instead of a reactive agency we have been. I am the innovative and motivative leader this department and this county needs to not only bring us up to date, but also prepare us going into the future. I'm running for sheriff because I believe the voters deserve a choice. The sheriff is elected by the people, not predetermined by the select few. I don't want to top off my career by being sheriff, but I would like to continue my commitment to service by being your next sheriff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Foos. We will now go to Gary Allison. You have 2 minutes for your opening statement, and again, time starts when you start speaking.
Thank you to Memories 107.9, Dave Foster, and everyone organizing this event this evening and allowing each of us the opportunity to be here. I'm Gary Allison, and I want to be your sheriff. I am and always have been a dedicated service to this community. Growing up working on a farm here in Daviess County helped mold me into the man that I am today. I knew at a young age that I wanted to pursue a career in law enforcement and helping others. Through my years of service, I've had the privilege of serving under four different sheriffs, always observing and learning from both their successes and their missteps. I started on the ground floor as a jailer and have held every position within the sheriff's office, holding my current rank as chief deputy. Getting here was no accident, however. Throughout my entire career, I've sought out more responsibility, always seeking to do more for the community by taking on roles that would develop me into a leader and be a great service to Daviess County. While leading a team of deputies is certainly a vital part of the sheriff's job, the sheriff's staff is much larger than that. With over a staff of 80 people and over 200 inmates, the sheriff must understand how to be an administrator as well. That means making hard decisions and sometimes being unpopular, even within your own staff. Through my various roles, I've been tasked with making those tough calls and holding people accountable. My career has taught me that we cannot always be perfect, and there is always room for improvement. I want to assure you that as your sheriff, I will continually evaluate our staff and our service to the community to make it serve better. Tonight, I think you'll find that I have the knowledge, commitment, and the heart required to be the next sheriff of Daviess County. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. We will now move on to the question and answer portion of the debate. We will ask the first question to Mr. Foose. We'll just switch back and forth. And our first question to you, Mr. Foose, is running the sheriff's office does entail many duties. What experience do you have to administer the office, the budget, supervise the deputies, law enforcement, basically oversee the jail and custodial sides of the department?
Thank you for that question. That's a very important question. Based on my training, knowledge, and experience of owning my own business, being in the public service for over 30 years, and my knowledge and experience serving that, and owning my own business, I believe I've handled a budget for 9 years now when I used to own my own business. So I have no problem with handling the money where it needs to go. And also, you're going to have help with that. You need help. It's going to take a team, and you're going to have the commissioners, the council, and the auditor's office going to be helping you with that. I am a leader, a motivator, and an innovator. I got what it takes. People are following me. That's what I can bring people together and unite for one common goal to accomplish what we need to accomplish to get that done. Thank you.
Yeah, Deputy Allison, same question. Running the sheriff's office entails many duties. What experience do you have administering the office and the budget, supervising the deputies, law enforcement, overseeing jail and custodial parts of the department?
Okay, I have trained specifically for all those departments. I already work with the county council. I already work with commissioners on the stuff that needs to be done to do that. I've had jailer training. I've had advanced jail training, officer school. We are constantly getting upgraded on every new jail law, every new jail. It's leaving me. Every new jail statute that comes out, every new statute that comes out for the deputies from the Supreme Court and those type of things. I've been to sheriff's school. I'll go to sheriff's school again. We are always corresponding with our sheriff's association so that we are up on those rules and regulations. I'm ready to be the sheriff of Daviess County.
Thank you. Troy, you have 30 seconds to respond or add to.
I'm good.
Thank you. Next question. We'll start with Gary. What is the current budget of the sheriff's department, the biggest expense, and what do you think should be done to reduce or redirect spending?
Okay, the sheriff's budget is $1.6 million, and then there's the security center budget that is $2.6 million, and then we have a county correction budget which pays for our part-time help, and that's $18,000 for a grand total of $4.3 million. The largest expense of that is obviously your labor. The budget that we work with is approved by the county council. They know what we need. They work with us on that. The lights are always on. The electricity's got to be paid for. You know, we work within a real stringent budget now. So we do our best to do that. And I will look at it line by line wherever I become sheriff. And I will go through it continually and try to make money stretch further.
Same question to you, Mr. Foose. With the current budget of the Sheriff's Department, the biggest expense, what do you believe can or should be done to redirect or reduce spending?
I agree with Gary. The jail budget is $2.6 million. The sheriff budget is $1.6 million. That is correct. I actually am a fiscal conservative. I'm a good steward of the taxpayers' money, and I will use the money wisely, and where I can save it, I will try to save it. But where I will not scrimp on is the safety of my employees and the citizens of Davis County. We are limited as far as the funds being available due to the circuit breaker law that came down, so it's pretty tight right now. I mean, most of the expense is from employees, the labor. So wherever I can, I will cut it or try to save money as much as I possibly can. Thank you.
Gary, 30 seconds to respond or add to.
Right. We already have some of the best equipment that we can possibly have. We're good on equipment. So, but if it makes sense to purchase it, I'll purchase it. If it doesn't make sense to purchase it, I'm not going to get it.
Mr. Cruz, 30 seconds to you.
Well, I'm not sure what kind of equipment Gary's talking about, but I do know we need the radios because we have difficulties reaching each other in stressful situations, and time is of the essence if somebody's on a traffic call, but I'm not sure if that comes from the E911 system fund or the other funds, but I'll check on that. Thank you.
I'm going to follow up. Can you elaborate on the problems you alluded to there with the radio system?
The radio system that we have, we got outdated radios. We need radios in our cars, and we need good handheld radios. Our problem is if we're on a traffic stop and we're outside the car, we got to have like two different sets of handheld radios on us. There's multiple times I'm working with the guys. They got like 800 radios, and then I got the regular repeater radio. I can't even communicate with them. And I think it's the same thing with city. I would like to get everybody on the same page as far as the Washington City police officers and the Davis County Sheriff's Office. That way everybody can be communicating together, because I actually had this one time. I actually had my radio on scan. I overheard city's traffic, and city was actually in pursuit, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And we stopped that pursuit, we ended it, and caught the guy. So, thank you.
Gary, you have 30 seconds to respond to the same comment.
Right. We currently submitted a proposal from Motorola for us to get new radios and cameras for our officers, and the bill came in at $1 million. The council wasn't too impressed with that bill. We're currently undergoing a study on our radios now. We're trying to find a better suited radio system. We really need a repeater in the southeastern part of the county, and we need a repeater in the northern part of the county to get the job accomplished. Those are in the works now, and we're working on it every day.
We'll go to the next question. We'll go to Mr. Foose. Assess the performance of the Sheriff's Office now, and if elected, would you keep it the same direction or change course?
I believe we need to change course. I believe that there are, I think I have what it takes to move the department forward, and I don't think it's moving as forward as it should be. We're not keeping up on the current situation as far as crimes. We're not being proactive as we should be. We got vehicles on our department that are not even marked. I have no idea why. So if you're driving down the road and you go, was that an officer? And you go, I have no idea if it was or not. I mean, we're calling ourselves a proactive law enforcement agency, but actually we're a reactive law enforcement agency, because somebody calls in, we react to it. An accident happens, we react to it. I want to be a proactive law enforcement agency, and I have what it takes to make that happen. Thank you.
Mr. Allison, 60 seconds, same question. Assess the performance of the Sheriff's Office, and if elected, would you keep it on the same direction or change course?
When I'm elected, I give us a B. I believe we're very well equipped to handle what we've got going on in the county. But what I want to do whenever I take office is go through every position, every officer that we've got, see if we can better assess those. Right now, this is the way Sheriff Harpstrike wants his jail to be ran and his sheriff's office to be ran, and I have to abide by those rules and regulations. So until that time, I can't take over till January 1. And when I do, I'm going to give it all a fresh new look and figure the directions we need to go from there.
Mr. Foose, 30 seconds to respond or add.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Gary Allison is the chief deputy right now, and I'm pretty sure, I'm almost guaranteed that the sheriff and the chief deputy are supposed to work together in a common go to make things happen. It starts at the top, and works its way down. You need good leadership at the top, and then it goes down from there. Thank you.
Carry 30 seconds.
I will correct you because you are wrong. Sheriff Jerry Harpstrite is in charge of the sheriff's office. I do as he directs me to do, and that's how I run my office. That's how I do it. Wherever I'm sheriff, it falls on me. It don't fall on anybody else. It is my responsibility as sheriff to take control of the county's budget and sheriff's office, and that's what I will do.
Next question. We'll start with Gary. How important do you feel that it is for employees to follow standard operating procedures that are currently in place?
Standard operating procedures are in place for three reasons. One, to protect the employee. Two, to protect the sheriff. And three, to protect the taxpayers. By not getting lawsuits and following procedures correctly, when you do that and you go to court, the court says these procedures are in place, you've got to have them in place so you can get a favorable ruling from a judge or a jury. They look at that very stringently.
Mr. Foose, same question. How important do you feel is it for employees to follow standard operation procedures currently in place?
I think it's very important to follow the standard operating procedures that are in place. As far as working the road that I have been for the past 12 years, we put ourselves in a tense, rapidly evolving, uncertain situations. Okay, sometimes your standard operating procedures, as far as, I'm a defensive tactics instructor, okay? We have certain things that we can do and certain levels of force that we can use when we go hands-on with an individual. In the Indiana law, it's a 1+1 theory. That means, like, if you guys are home wrestling with your kids or something, they get you in a headlock, you get them in a headlock, and it works like that. That's not going to de-escalate the situation. So what we got to do is we got to go up one level of force to de-escalate the situation. That way we can follow that and then go from there. Thank you.
Chair Allison, 30 seconds.
We have, those are defensive tactics. They're in our standard operating procedure. We use them quite a bit. Some people choose not to follow them. We have a standard shaving policy, which my opponent will not abide to. That is by the sheriff and is not by me. And it's right here. I brought it with me.
30 seconds, Troy.
I would like to see that because I haven't seen that in the handbook policy, that the one that I have. I'd have no problem following the standard operating procedure.
Administrative Rule 21, enacted March 11th, 2015. I've talked to you about it several times, Troy.
Okay, we'll move on. Let's stay in that vein for just a minute. Mr. Foose, how would you handle insubordination?
Well, I was unaware of that in place, and I can see it. He's showing me something there, but...
Not just with this issue, you know.
Yeah. Thank you. But, yeah, you got to follow the rules. The rules are set in place, okay? If anybody has to follow the rules, it's the law enforcement officers. I get it, okay? We're set at a higher standard. And we got to follow the rules no matter what. I get it. You have to, because if not, how's law enforcement going to feel, you know, or how are we going to be perceived to be, you know, as a law enforcement officer? So I understand that, and I will read this because, you know, I didn't know nothing about it. No idea.
Troy, I talked to you about it. The sheriff's even talked to you about
it. Gary, we're the same question to you. You got 60 seconds. How would you handle insubordination?
How would I handle insubordination? There's policies for that, and it's in our SOPs. You talk to the individual first, you write them up next, and then you go from there, all the way up to the merit board for deputies, and then with civil employees, it's up to the sheriff, ultimately.
Troy, you want 30 seconds?
No, I'm good.
Okay, all right, thank you. Next question. You can applaud. It's fine. Next question. We'll start with Mr. Foose. Deputy, you're right. Open door policy, how does it work? How would it be funded, an open door policy?
The open door policy is fostered around a dialogue around the unique opportunity for the sheriff's office to take a direct action against the disease of drug addiction in our community. Well, it'd be funded as it, I have a policy kind of, I'm studying it. It ain't gonna take effect day one. It's gonna take some time. But I do see an issue, the addiction problem in our community, that we need to do something about it. I know the Sheriff's Department has the RARE program, which is a great program, and I will continue that and expand on that. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get the person or individual that needs the help they need before they get into our system. That's why I call it the open door policy. Thank you.
Can you answer the open door policy?
We currently have an open door policy. I've never turned away anyone from my door. I constantly have people coming wanting to get help for folks. You know, they come in and their loved one's in jail. I always try to talk them into leaving them with us so we can do the best with them that we can do. It takes several months sometimes for people to get their head clear enough to make the right decisions. I don't like the revolving door, but we try to keep them in as long as we can. My door is always open. I talk to lots of people and try to get them on the right path.
Deputy Foose, 30 seconds.
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Deputy Allison, as sheriff, what will you do to help recidivism in the jail, repeat offenders?
The repeat offenders, what we do now is when someone is arrested, they're sent to court. Judge Sebecki puts them where he feels that they should be. Now that could be in our jail, that could be in community corrections, and community corrections is doing awesome work with what they do. They got home detention, they've got various levels that they let people come in and out on. They do a real good job with working with those folks, and that's where it comes in at. It's all of us working together that gets the job done.
Deputy Foose, how would you handle or help repeat offenders in the jail?
Well, you'd probably want to try to look and see if we can get some more programs and find out why they are being repeated. I will work with the judge and the prosecutor's office, check what they are being charged with. Maybe it's not steep enough. Maybe they're not being hard enough on them. You know, maybe we're being too easy on them. That's why they just, you know, they think it's a holiday there or vacation, so they can take a few days off and go to jail, and then they can get out, and they go back doing the same thing, and then they get caught again. So, you know, eventually they're going to be a habitual violator, and then they're going to be sent away for a long time. So we need to nip it in the bud before, you know, they do become a repeat offender. So I don't know if we need to get more programs or something set in place, I believe, that would help them out in the long run. Thank you.
Deputy Allison, 30 seconds.
Being where I'm at and knowing what I know there's a lot of programs out there already helping these folks. It's personal responsibility. There's lots of programs out there for people to get involved in. There's tons of stuff to do in this community, and we'll point them in the right direction, but personal accountability and personal responsibility takes foremost in that.
Deputy Foose, another 30. Another 30 to respond to that.
I'm good, thank you.
We will kind of stay in that vein this time. Deputy Foose, what do you believe is the sheriff's responsibility when it comes to treatment of drug offenders?
Can you repeat the question again?
What do you believe is the sheriff's responsibility when it comes to the treatment of drug offenders?
Well, I think the main treatment would be trying to figure out they're getting the proper treatment. Because if you're treating somebody for something that they shouldn't be treated for, you know, just like being the doctor, you know, if you're having a stomach ache and, you know, he gives you something for your back. So it's not working. You're going to have to change it to move on to something else. So, and it's a good, challenging responsibility, you know, for the drug addiction that we have in the county. And I think it's a big responsibility, and I'm ready to tackle the challenge. I mean, being the, you know, all this training and instruction that I did, and being out on the street, you know, I deal with it every day. I see what happens, you know, in people's lives. So I want to make a difference, but You got to lead by a good example by being a good example. Thank you.
Deputy Allison, same question. What do you believe is the sheriff's responsibility when it comes to the treatment of drug offenders?
Our current program is the RARE program, and you're going to hear me talk a lot about it tonight. It works with people, and people work on it very well. People work very well within that program. I just got notified today of new mandates coming down from the state level for mental health and new ruling or new bills being passed by the federal government that's going to help the sheriffs try to get more programs into the jail. I'm open to anything that we can possibly do to help these folks.
30 seconds, Troy.
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, we will move on. And this is being asked by lots of folks. It was on my list, and it's in the box. We'll start with Deputy Allison. What is your stance on legalizing marijuana?
Legalizing marijuana, I am not for that. I think that sends the wrong message to our children. I think they have it in their face all the time on TV, on news media, in movies, on sitcoms. It's in their faces all the time. It sends the wrong message to our children. I just don't. And then the ludicrousy of the thing that they want to fund schools and drug programs with it. I just don't agree with that at all. Like I said, it's just not a good thing. Marijuana is a gateway drug. Every time I found large quantities of meth or cocaine, marijuana's been right there with it. You know, it's just not the way that the state of Indiana needs to go.
Deputy Blue, 60 seconds. What is your stance on legalizing marijuana?
I agree with Gary Allison. I mean, legalizing marijuana, it is a gateway drug, no doubt about it. It leads to other things and other drugs. As far as me personally wanting to be it legalized, I have no control over that. That's up to legislation. Okay, we uphold the Constitution, and we protect and serve and uphold the law, and that's what we're supposed to do. So if legislation passes it down and it's legalized, then we go with it. But right now, it's not. So we're going to have to deal with it. And if they do decide to legalize it, just like an alcohol or drinking and driving situation, you know, we got PBTs, portable breath tests, to test the alcohol level. So if you pull somebody over under the influence, are they going to have that something to test how much THC is in their system? Or are we going to have to take them to the hospital for a blood draw every time? A lot of questions need to be answered before they legalize it. Thank you.
Allison, 30 seconds to add anything.
Right. There currently isn't any portable breath test to test for marijuana. They have to be taken to the hospital and tested. You know, I always work with our state legislature. We're in Indianapolis quite a bit. Sheriff's Association has a lobbyist that works with the state legislature, and I will continually express my dissatisfaction with legalizing marijuana.
Another concern of the folks, and it was on my list too. We'll start with Deputy Foose. Where do you stand on the Second Amendment?
Well, if you've seen my palm cards that I handed out, I'm pro-Second Amendment. I believe in the right to keep and bear arms because you got to protect yourself and the others, you know, if it comes down to it. In case you notice, I have my gun on me right now. There it is on my side, okay? I've actually watched a training video. It was for an active shooter situation. A guy comes in, he's putting the class on like this. It was some law that they said only 10 rounds of ammo that you can put in a magazine. I don't know what state it was. The guy comes in with multiple magazines, it's training exercise only, comes in, starts unloading. He shot everybody and killed everybody in the classroom just with a 10-round magazine. Next scenario, he come in. This time, one of the people in the audience had a gun. He only shot about three of them and saved the rest of the people. So I believe in lawfully pro-Second Amendment. Thank you.
Deputy Allison, same question. Where do you stand on the Second Amendment?
I'm pro-Second Amendment. Let's face it, folks. The First Amendment gives us the right to free speech, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion. The Second Amendment gives us the right to bear arms. That's how important it was to the Founding Fathers, and that's why I don't believe it'll ever be overturned. People do need to own firearms legally, though. They're set in place so people can have those firearms. We need to have the permitting process. There's some talk up at the state level about doing away with taxing for the constitutional right. That's going to take away from our firearms fund, so we're going to have to fund our firearms through taxpayer money once that goes away. I do believe that they still need to have a vetting process for permits, though.
Anything to add? Okay. And yes, Mr. Coos, Deputy Coos, I did notice you had a gun. I tried to notice, being moderator, I tried to notice everybody who was armed in here tonight.
There's more than a few.
There's probably a lot.
I don't doubt it. Let's stay with that topic for just a minute. We'll start with Deputy Allison. What do you believe when it comes to gun permits? Do we keep the current system? Should we pay for the gun permits, background mental health checks? How do you feel about those?
We definitely need to have that in place. It gives our officers a tool that whenever we roll up on some place and someone does have a handgun and they don't have a permit, it gives us a reason to arrest them on the spot. We don't need to be questioning ourselves at that point in time. That rule needs to stay in place, and that's what our Sheriff's Association is lobbying for. Obviously, we're lobbying to keep the fees assigned to it so that we can buy our ammunition.
Same question to you, Deputy Foos. What do you believe when it comes to gun permits? Do we keep the current system? Should the public be required to pay? How do you feel about background mental health checks?
I believe, they should pay. I mean, if they want to carry a handgun in the state of Indiana, I think it's going to help us out as far as some funding issues. You know, it helps with the process. And if anybody doesn't have a lifetime license right now, I'd probably get one because it's, you know, pretty cheap. And I don't know why they went that route, but they did anyway. So, but I do like if they could do more checks as far as mental health issues or dangerous persons or, you know, anybody. I mean, you're going to have to go back a long ways because, you know, you can get a license. You can have, actually, they could have a handgun license right now, and then a little bit later something could happen and they lose it or something in their mind and their wires get crossed and, you know, who knows, they start taking drugs and then they start shooting everybody. So, I mean, there's got to be some way to monitor them, but I do like when we pull people over and dispatch can tell us, hey, they got a handgun license. I do like that. Keeps us on the guard.
Deputy Allison, anything to add?
I don't believe the handgun licenses are computerized, but if they are, that's news to me. The only thing else I would add to that is they have changed the 4-year to a 5-year permit, and that's so people at gun shows can purchase guns without having to go through the hassle that they've been having to go through as long as they got a permit.
Deputy Bruce, 30 seconds to you.
I was referring to the person that we pull them over. Usually they tell us that they have a handgun permit, and then we always ask them if they have a handgun or any firearms in the vehicle and try not to move, so because we don't want to accidentally have an accident, if you know what I mean.
Thank you. We're going to take just a minute to inform our listeners what we're doing in case they just tuned in. This is the 2018 Daviess County Sheriff election debate between our two Republican candidates running for sheriff, Deputy Troy Foos and Deputy Gary Allison, both on the Republican ballot for next week's election on Tuesday, and both looking to get on the ballot for the fall general election. We are asking questions and hearing their response. Your memory is 107.9 WAMW Washington. And we will move on with some questions from the box. Several people wanted to know this. After this election, we will ask Deputy Allison first. After this election, do you see the two of you and your parties working together?
Oh, yeah. We're professionals. I kind of liken it. I've always liked to study the Civil War, and that's always been a passion of mine. And Abraham Lincoln said whenever they took Richmond and General Grant asked him, what do you want us to do with the Southerners? What do you want us to do with our brothers? He said, let them up easy. I believe that, and we are all professionals, and we will continue to work well together.
Deputy Poos, 60 seconds.
I agree with Gary. I don't think we're going to have a problem because we are professionals. We have a job to do. Okay, we're law enforcement officers. We have thick skin, okay, some more callous than others, but we do, you know, and that's our job, okay? We meet people on the worst day of their life. People don't know that. We deal with the people every day on the worst day of their life. Sometimes, I hate to say it, but we ruin their lives. That's what they tell us. We just ruin their lives. But we deal with it. And you know what? I've ruined a lot of people's lives that they said, and later down the road, they said it was the best thing I ever done for them. And, you know, so it'll all work out. Everything does. Everything will go back to the way it was, and we'll be working good together. And it's not saying we're not working good together. You know, everybody's just got a choice, and then people are choosing what they believe in their heart. So follow your heart, man.
Deputy Allison, 40 seconds to add.
The only thing I'd add to that is, as a law enforcement officer, you only have a small amount of time to make a change in someone's life, and that's what I want my people to do. So,
any response?
No, that's good. Very good.
Next question, we will start with Deputy Poos. In what ways have you contributed to the community outside of law enforcement?
There's many ways I've contributed outside law enforcement. I'm not only a law enforcement officer, I'm also a volunteer fireman of 17 years, a medical first responder of 14 years. And I volunteer my time at the Powerhouse here in Washington. And every year, Bethel Mall has a back to school for the young kids. I donate my time there. I'm also the Fort Day Mayus community member. And then every year in July, the Indiana Sheriff's Association puts on a youth camp for kids, and this year should be my 9th year attending that. It's a great opportunity to build a good foundation for the young kids. I believe in the young kids because they are our future, or you can add to the good foundation that they already have. So there's a lot of stuff I do other than just law enforcement. I wear many, many hats. Thank you.
Deputy Allison, 60 seconds. In what ways have you contributed to the community outside of law enforcement?
Everything I do for the community is through law enforcement. I'm on the Purdue Extension Board. I'm on the Child Fidelity Review Team. Every little organization that I attend and go to their function is, I go as the chief deputy right now because I represent my sheriff when I go to those places.
Deputy Foos, anything to add? Stand with the rules, 30 seconds.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. One thing that keeps coming up is the service that the Sheriff's Department provides for the Oak Grove Cemetery. We will start with Deputy Allison. The service that you provide, will that be continuing?
That will definitely be continuing. It's a vital part of community service that our sheriff's office performs. And for folks that don't know, we have a work crew that goes out and assists Joe Bean and those folks out there at the cemetery, keep and maintain that cemetery into a nice, presentable cemetery. We also work up at Odin, and there's several other little cemeteries that we maintain through the sheriff's office. Today, our crew was at the National Day of Caring. We have these folks out here working in the community, and they feel like they give back to the community whenever they're doing that because they know they're in jail and they like to give back to the community.
Deputy Poos, would the service continue under your administration if elected?
Yeah, absolutely it would. I believe in the community service and giving back to the community. And like Gary said, you know, it does help them get out of jail, but, I mean, you can't just let them all out to do it. But I do like the program. I think it's great. I think there's a lot more places in Davis County that are wanting it. I've talked to a few people, and they want to know if I would continue that service. And I said, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if it's just we don't have enough guys or just – time is of the essence, so they can't be everywhere all at one time. So, But we'll make it work for the community. You know, whatever is better helps better the community for the future. Thank you.
And Deputy Allison, 30 seconds to add anything.
Okay. Those people meet certain criteria to get onto that work crew. There are a lot more. One of the prerequisites of that is that they are a nonprofit organization. The County Highway uses some of our people. The landfill uses some of our people. City Streets Department uses some of our people. So we are out there all the time, all over the place.
Deputy Foos, another 30 seconds.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
A question that was on my list, and it's showing up a lot in the box, and it was something I was not going to ask because it's really not a sheriff's decision on implementing this law, but we'll start with the Deputy Gary Allison. How do you feel about arming teachers?
I've talked to several teachers, and teachers want to teach, you know. They don't want to be responsible for a handgun on their person or in their classroom. Can you imagine the liability that would be on that teacher for that and the school system if the teacher had the gun taken away from them? Of course, if the state passes a law that teachers can be armed, we would hope that we would be able to train them through our facilities and train them to handle the weapons and handle them properly. I would also be for locking them up into a very secure box in the building. But by and large, arming teachers isn't the responsibility of the teachers. Keeping schools safe is the responsibility of the sheriff.
Deputy Foos, how do you feel about arming teachers? 60 seconds.
I think that's going to be up to the Department of Education. Personally, I agree with Gary Allison. I don't think teachers, they're there to teach, and that's their job. They didn't sign up for that to be a law enforcement, a police officer. If it does come down to it, yeah, we can train them, but, you know, like Gary said, yeah, they can get the weapons taken away from them, and I don't know about locking them in a box. That would be just like us on a traffic stop and putting our gun in the glove box. We need it now, and we got to act, and we're going to have to act now. So, you know, being a training instructor, you know, there's a lot of work that can be do for it, but there's a lot of liabilities at risk too. So you got to be careful with that. Thank you.
Deputy Allison, 30 seconds to add.
Well, it's currently against state law to have a gun on school unless you are a law enforcement officer. The reason I want to keep it in a box is to keep the kids away from the gun.
Anything to add, Deputy? 30 seconds to add or respond.
Well, if there's an active shooter situation, he's got to go to his box to pull the gun out, and there could be a lot of lives lost. And I don't want that.
Next question, we will start with Deputy Foos. We hear a lot about change. What would be the top three changes you would make as sheriff?
One of the changes, I don't know if it's a change, how about addition as far as getting a specialized drug unit together that focuses mainly on getting the drugs, the drug money, and the guns off the street. To do that, I would have to restructure the department. And to do that, I can make that work with the officers that I have right now and do it effectively and efficiently without costing the taxpayers more money. That would be one of my main goals and the primary goal of that, so we can get the drugs off the street, because there's a lot of drugs out here in the county, and we need to hit them, and we need to hit them hard. Thank you.
Deputy Allison, we hear a lot about change. What would be the top three changes you would make as sheriff?
Well, as I've been out talking with people, the people are telling me that they don't see our patrol cars enough. I want to increase patrols. I want to get us to a central dispatch working with the city. I think that's vitally important for the communication. You know, that's really one of my main goals, is to try to get a central dispatch going. And I've been in contact with the Drug Enforcement Administration, and they're eager to get us back on board with them. They know what we can bring to the table. They know we've got a huge problem here. I've worked with them. I know they do good work, and we will get the dope off Davies County streets.
Deputy Foose, 30 seconds to respond or add to.
I'm just wondering if Gary Allison's our DEA guy and he's no longer into that, then how come he didn't get that started sooner and we haven't had it for years now? And also, as far as the patrol vehicles, might want to mark them because they probably are driving by. You just don't know it.
30 seconds.
Thank you.
30 seconds, Deputy Allison, to respond or add to.
As far as getting back to the DEA, they are working with the city right now. They didn't particularly care for the person that we had to put up for that position. And as far as marking the cars, we like to have a good balance of marked and unmarked cars. Sometimes you don't need a marked car in every situation. Sometimes you need an unmarked car.
Next question, we will go to Deputy Foose. Do you feel that there has been any progress made in the meth situation in the county in the years you've been on the force?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've had a lot. Years ago, we had a lot of meth labs. People were making their own meth. But there is still a meth issue in our community. A lot of it's being brought in instead of made, homemade. The problem is now we got the opioids. People are hooked on pain pills. And the doctors are cutting back on them, and they're doing a great job. But now what's happening is they're resorting to heroin now. So they're taking heroin, and then they're mixing it with fentanyl. And then we're having a lot of overdoses, and it's killing a lot of people. And we're trying to save lives and protect lives, but we're losing a lot of people and a lot of good people that don't need to be. So thank you.
Deputy Allison, do you feel any progress has been made in the meth situation?
The progress that's been made in the meth situation is the meth lab total is down. That's huge because the people at Jamestown, the people at Highland, they don't have to worry nearly as much about one catching on fire in the middle of the night and placing them homeless or in the apartments around town and things along that line. I'm sure you'll have a question about opioids sometime, and I'll answer that part of it then. But the methamphetamine problem is still real, is still very much in our sights, and we will never quit working on the meth problem here in Daviess County.
Thank you. 30 seconds, Deputy Foose, anything to add?
No, thank you.
Okay. We will touch on the opioid because the second part of this question was, if we will start with Deputy Allison. If you were elected sheriff, what specifically would you do to address the opioid epidemic, and do you think officers should carry Narcan?
Our officers currently carry Narcan, so got that part out of the way. I've been to meetings with the hospital. I've talked with them and their doctors out there about the opioid crisis. There are laws being enacted. There's new legislation coming down every day and from the federal and the state level. We need help. It can't all fall upon the sheriff to control what people do. We need help to get these people into the programs that they need to get into. A lot of treatment centers won't take anybody unless they've been clean for 30 days. It's hard for someone that's on heroin or opioids to be clean for 30 days. So we do everything we possibly can, though, to help those folks.
Deputy Foose, if you were elected sheriff, what specifically would you do to address the opioid epidemic? Do you think officers should carry Narcan?
As far as the opioid epidemic, I think hitting on the specialized drug unit that I would like to enforce in the department, I think that's going to help out with the opioid addiction. And as far as the open door policy that I was talking about earlier, that they can just walk in if they have any problems whatsoever, addicted to whatever they need, we will get them to the treatment center. We can possibly get them to that, help them get through what they need to get through. As far as the Narcan, yeah, I think the Narcan's great. I went to a house one time where two guys were getting high, and they both had Narcans there. Says, you know, if I OD, I need you to give it to me, and vice versa. And that's sad. I mean, it's sad it comes down to that, you know. So, but it is a good tool to have in law enforcement because we have saved lives from that. They wasn't happy about it, but we saved them. Thank you.
And Deputy Allison, 30 seconds to add.
We already have an open door policy. Anybody that comes to us, we'll get them to the help that they need. I have heard of people having Narcan with them. I know some places people do heroin in public in hopes that someone with Narcan will get there to help them do that. It is a sad situation, and we need help. That's what I'm going to say. We need help from the state. We need to partner with mental health professionals, and we need to partner with our community corrections and judges and prosecutors.
And Deputy Foose, 30 seconds to add anything?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm pulling out a lot of duplicate questions, so we are going to move on to closing statements. Deputy Foose won the coin toss and had the first shot at opening statement, so we will give Deputy Gary Allison the first time at a closing statement. Deputy Allison, you have 2 minutes closing statement.
Okay, once again, thank you to those that organized this event and everyone for coming out. I think it's exciting to see this many people concerned about their sheriff's office. Hopefully you've learned a little bit more about me and who I am and what I stand for. I've never shied away from more responsibility and accountability. In fact, I've actively sought it out and have already been in positions to make tough calls. I've devoted my entire adult life to serving Davies County, and my term as sheriff would be an extension of that. My opponent has insinuated, well, some people are saying that I look at this as a retirement job. I've seen sheriffs who have come in and been took it as a retirement position, and they fail miserably. The whole office does. Whenever you're elected to sheriff of the county, that's the day you go to work. That's the day when you bring all your training, all your experience, all of your knowledge to that office to make the community better and safer. Once elected sheriff, I will work hard. I have a clear vision for where I want to take the department. That includes centralizing the dispatching, re-engaging with the DEA for local drug interdiction, and I want to reorganize our command structure. I will work with my staff to assess their strengths and weaknesses to better utilize them within the framework of the department. Always focus on how we can serve the community better. I'm also committed to working with drug offenders to see that they get the help they need within the law. We currently have programs and personnel adequate to do this. We just need more people willing to step up and take the help that we have to offer. I'm open to alternatives, but simply adding more programs is not necessarily the answer. We cannot make promises of leniency that are outside the law. I've dedicated keeping the residents of our county safe, most especially our children in schools. If I had my way, we would have resource officers in every school, but the truth is there's currently not enough money to make that happen. I believe we have a great sheriff's office. I look forward to being the sheriff, and I will work hard for the people of Davies County.
Thank you, Deputy Allen. Two minutes. Closing statement, Deputy Foose.
I'm running for sheriff because I am committed to service. I've explained to you my 30 years of service, be it through my multiple avenues of life experience and service to my community. I am ready to continue that service, not put a capstone on it. I have worked night shift for many years because it is where I felt that I was able to make a direct impact on the community. It also allowed me to witness firsthand the issues we as a community face today, not that they were like 20 years ago. My platform has and will continue to focus on better helping our community by focusing on the drugs, focusing on the addictions, focusing on the youth, and focusing on the budget. I plan to fight the war on drugs by implementing a specialized drug unit that focuses mainly on getting the drugs, the drug money, and the guns off the street. This unit will be assembled effectively and efficiently using the deputies that I currently have and will not cost the taxpayers any money. The other battleground in the war on drugs is the addiction problem and what it is doing to our community, our families, and our friends. We also have an awesome program at the jail called RARE. I intend to keep and expand on that. However, where the RARE program focuses on people during incarceration and post-incarceration, I want to be proactive. I want to implement an open door policy that allows those battling addiction to receive help that they need or without fear of incarceration. I want to focus on our youth. Youth is very important to me. I feel that we need to focus on the education of them for drugs, peer pressure, and bullying. We need to instill in them the importance of their choices, decision-making, and leadership skills. They are our future. I am fiscally conservative. I will be a good steward of the taxpayers' money. I will save where I can, but I will not scrimp on the safety of my employees or the citizens of Davis County. I do not want to top off my career by being sheriff. I want to continue it by being your sheriff. I've applied for this position to be sheriff, just like you guys applied for your jobs. It's up to you to decide who you want to be the next sheriff. That choice is yours. If you want to be if you want a motivated and innovative leader that is committed to service and leading the department and community into the future, vote Foose for sheriff.
That is going to wrap up our Davis County Sheriff election debate tonight. Memories 107.9, WAMW in Washington, and WAMWAMFM.com. If we could have a quick round of applause for both candidates. We do thank you both for participating and agreeing tonight. We thank everyone who helped to make this night possible. Big special thanks to our engineer over in the corner, Andy Morrison, and Jake Foster. Thanks to Dave Crooks for his help. Thanks to the Conservation Club for providing our venue tonight. And also a big thanks to Bill McCain. Thanks to our live audience, those listening on air and online. WAMW Memories 107.9 has presented this debate as a public service to the citizens and voters of Davies County. Be sure and exercise your right to vote coming up on Tuesday, May 8th. It is 1 week from today. We do want to remind you that early voting does continue this week. Goes on through Friday at the Davies County Clerk's Office from 8 to 4. They will be open special hours this Saturday from 8 to 3. And the last day for early voting will be Monday from 8 to noon. I'm Dave Foster, WAMW News Director, Memories 107.9, Washington, and again, WAMW, AMFM.com. Again, thanks to everyone for being here. Thanks for listening, and good night, everyone.